Hello and welcome to Off Curve. I'm Wicked Good and I am talking to you about Hearthstone as I am driving home from the train station. For real this time. It's Thursday, September 13th. It's about halfway through the month. So, yeah, stuff and things. One thing that happened, and you noticed that last week's episode was long. I think I mentioned this on last week's episode, but I was talking for a while and I don't remember. You know, I live in Massachusetts. I take the commuter rail to work, and they changed the way that the parking works. So they used to have one set rate for all the parking lots at the train stations, and now it's, you know, inversely proportional to the size of the parking lots, trying to get people to park in the bigger lots. And that's great in theory, but what it ended up doing was when I left for my normal time, parking lot was full. Multiple times. So that's why I was driving to work last week. That's why I ended up driving to work again yesterday. And I'm having to leave my house earlier and try to learn when to get the train. But now I did it today. I had to wake up at like 4:45 to do it, but I did it today. So I'm driving home from the train station and we're going to talk all about why Ladder feels like horrible right now. That's what this episode is about. So if you are struggling and you don't understand why, this is going to be a pity party for all of us. And we're going to try to figure out why this meta feels terrible. So that's all to say, I think I'm at rank 4. I've been bouncing between 3 and 4 a lot. And I've been trying a bunch of different things. The last thing that I've been playing has been a token druid that subs out the spell stones and one copy of, I'm playing the scavenger list, but it subs out the spell stones and one copy of Saronite Chain Gang for Onyxia and two Tar Creepers. The Tar Creepers, I have to find the list. I forget who the player was. Andrew from Happy Hearthstone sent that to me, and I like the idea, and it works. It's nice, because the problem is that now that I've done that, I'm not seeing much aggro anymore, but it's, the idea is that the Tar Creeper is better against aggro than the Spellstone is, usually, because it will both deflect an attack, and will usually more than one, actually, and it also works along with the rest of your deck in terms of the Strong Soul Scavengers, and it's just another minion on board. And it doesn't require you to find armor in order to buff it up. The Onyxia is a separate idea, and I kind of took the idea to take both ideas and merge them into the list, and I like it, but now the Vicious Syndicate reports come out today, and Token is the best deck, which means it's going to be heavily targeted. But the idea with Onyxia is that it's a third Whispering Woods. It's not a Whispering Woods that you can combo Soul of the Forest with, but you can if you have Floop in your hand, because then you get a 4-mana 3/4 Onyxia, and you really don't care about the size of the body on the Onyxia, but you do care very much about the fact that it's dropping a whole bunch of 1/1s on the board. And if it's 4-mana, then you can pair it with Soul of the Forest, and it gives you a third copy of Whispering Woods, which means that sometimes, especially against control, you have to, or against, like, you know, unfavored matchups where you don't have the luxury of waiting, you sometimes do have to just drop an early Whispering Woods and hope. You sometimes do that against Druid if you can get it before turn 6 to try to stave off their Spreading Plague and try to get some damage in before they get there. This makes it a lot easier to do that because then you have the reload later. And in the mirror, it's really good because, again, you can create more boards than your opponent, and then that's what's important. So I like the list, but it's just, you know, it's running up against a bunch of unfavorables lately. Or that, or I'm just not playing well. And that's possible too, right? Like, I don't want to just play in the matchups. I don't want to play in the deck. I'm probably not playing optimally. I've had another, you know, work is hard during the week, and we've also been running around for the Jewish holidays and had a lot of stuff to prep for those, so I'm probably not giving it my full focus. And I've also been working a lot on the data visualization projects with HCT playoffs being in high gear right now. So I've been at least populating one dashboard a week for the last 3 weeks. I've also been doing a couple of other side projects. I put together that one that I talked about last week, which was the crafting guide. I put together another one. I spent a lot of laddering time over the weekend pulling match performance from smash.gg for DreamHack. So I actually had to do two dashboards last week, one for DreamHack, one for HCT AsiaPac. And on top of that, I got this brilliant idea that I was going to start pulling data from smash.gg, and it works. I am not ready to publish it yet, but I will be soon. But that's also taken away ladder time. So, you know, less ladder time I have, less time I have to climb. So, you know, and when I do ladder, I have mixed results. So if you're struggling, it's not just you. We'll put it that way. And I think that trying to understand why this meta is what it is may help understand why lots of people feel like they're struggling right now, and then try to be a little bit more forgiving or understanding, or at least try to, you know, change your mental state to account for it. So let's talk about the meta, and let's talk about our feelings. So this kind of is coming off of both, you know, my own feelings. Andrew and I, you know, I've talked a few times about how Andrew and I are kind of gym buddies, as it were, as far as the legend climb is concerned, and he's been really frustrated. I don't think that's, you know, I mean, he's tweeted as such, so I don't think I'm giving anything away. And I've been really frustrated, and it makes the game feel a little bit less enjoyable. I'm not saying I'm not enjoying myself. Like, I don't want to give that impression, but it's frustrating in a way that really hasn't felt like that in a while. I mean, last month was the first month in a while that I didn't hit Legend. That's probably part of it for me. But even then, right, like, I'm okay with not hitting Legend. I know that that's not a thing that I need to do every month. But it is, there's something about this meta that makes it feel like you're running in quicksand. So, I think what's probably good to level set is that we just need to talk about, like, what all the decks are that are in the meta, just to get an idea of, like, what you're up against and what that's going to feel like. So, I mean, realistically, as far as aggro decks are concerned, you have Odd Rogue and you have Zoo. You have some Tempo Mage, which is mainly there to combat Quest Rogue. And there's a smattering of Odd Paladin here and there. There's a smattering of, like, even Shaman, but those are really the three decks. So you have Zoo, which just either gets off to a fast start and blows you out of the water, or it doesn't. You have Odd Rogue, which can just throw down threat after threat, especially now that they've incorporated the Vicious Fledglings on top of the Hedge Clan Thugs, to just get a threat on three and beat you in about the head and shoulders with it. And then Tempo Mage is really just there to beat up on Quest Rogue. And so as far as the combo and those types of decks, and like anti-control decks, you have Quest Rogue, you have Maligos Druid, you have Togwaggle Druid, you have Token Druid, and you have Shudderwalk Shaman. Shudderwalk Shaman's not really as prevalent again. Quest Rogue is kind of the big bad wolf up at Legend. It's less so in, like, the 1-4 ranks, but, you know, you still see it. And then you have a bunch of Druid decks that you may not even know what you're playing against until you're in the end game. And then you have the control decks. You have Odd Warrior, you have Big Spell Mage. Odd Warrior is a deck that will just, you kind of settle in for a while. I can't remember a meta since maybe, like, League of Explorers, maybe, where I had to do a mental check and make sure that I've gone to the bathroom before each match, if I need to. Because if you this is kind of crass, but if you don't go to the bathroom before an Odd Warrior beer or an Odd Warrior game, even, depending on what kind of deck you're playing, you could be there for a while. And those games are very mentally taxing. Big Spell Mage is not around as much, but it's kind of the same thing. It's expecting to go the long game. It's supposed to go to fatigue. A lot of the OTK decks, like Maligos, doesn't really do anything against those decks. Togwaggle will. But Togwaggle has its other problems against aggro. I was playing Togwaggle Druid for a bit. I do like it, because it does beat up on those control decks, but then you have problems with other types of decks. And Quest Rogue is just, it's, I don't know if it's a problem in terms of the actual strength of the deck, But it's always kind of defeating to face, especially if you're not playing an aggro deck. And just because it... You feel like you need to play it out because maybe, like, the quest rogue player just doesn't know what they're doing and they're going to mess up. But if they don't, you're in for a really, really long slog. Like, it used to be against quest rogue, even in, like, the Un'Goro days. Like, they would get their quest really fast and they would just beat you up. And that would be the end of it and you'd go on to the next game. Maybe it would take a few turns, but it wouldn't take this long. But the way that the quest rogue is going now, it's going infinite with Zola and Brewmaster and Valyra. Because originally, quest rogue didn't even have Valyra in its first incarnation. Now that you have Valyra and you can go infinite, it just becomes like this never-ending... Like, it's almost like playing against Jade Druid at a point where you're just like, I think I can beat them, but if they get to a certain point, I just can't, and I'm going to be here for 20 minutes finding out whether I can or not. There's something to be said for Even Warlock as well. That was a recommendation in the Vicious Syndicate report, and you also have all the various types of Hunter decks. You have Spell Hunter, which is really more of a mid-range to aggro deck. Not Spell Hunter, Secret Hunter. Spell Hunter's not really a thing right now, but Secret Hunter is. And you also have Death Rattle Hunter, which is more of like a mid-range control, more mid-range combo style deck that just tries to get a bunch of stuff on board and overwhelm a lot of these decks before it can get started. And it also has Rexxar at the end. So that's kind of the overview of what we're up against in this meta. And I think that we can start to look at what these decks are doing and why it feels the way that it feels. So I guess let's start by talking about the elephant in the room, which is the Giggling Inventor. And you know, that's something that I think we all knew was going to be powerful. We didn't really know what kind of effect it was going to have. It turns out it's a pretty big one. And obviously, Giggling Inventor is responsible for some of the decks being as powerful as they are. Like, Token Druid, in general, didn't really get any new cards aside from the Giggling Inventor. And Floop. I mean, Floop is also a very powerful card in Druid. Being able to... Which kind of contributes to going to this Strong Shell Scavenger build, because you're getting more minions that generate minions as opposed to spells that generate minions, or you're doing a little bit of both. So Floop's kind of, you know, contributing to that too, and Floop is also part of Malygos Druid, and not really as much part of Togwaggle Druid anymore, though Dream Petal Florist is kind of the villain there, I guess, that's enabling Togwaggle to be more consistent without having to rely on going all in on the twig. But, you know, Quest Rogue, it's obviously a problem in Quest Rogue. And I'm not sure. Like, I've been having this weird feeling in the back of my head lately, which is, what if Giggling Inventor is just the thing that's holding the whole meta together right now? Like, it's very easy to look at Giggling Inventor, look at how many decks that it's in, and, you know, say, okay, this is clearly the problem. Right, like I do I've alluded to it a couple times. I do the HTT deck list browser. I do this consistently now. One of the things that I've added for this expansion, based on a comment that Soddle had made, is the Giggling Inventor ratio, and it shows how many decks are, you know, in the meta and how many are running Giggling Inventor. It turns out it's about half, I think, and how many decks are running something to counter Giggling Inventor, be it Blood Knight or Mossy Har, and that's about 40% of the decks. So almost all the decks are running one or the other for the most part. It's like a 5-4 ratio or a 6-5 ratio. I didn't really do the numbers on the NA deck, so I don't know what the exact number is, but it's high. And it's easy to look at that and say, well, that's the problem. And for some decks, it is. Like, clearly for Quest Rogue, it is. Like, being able to put down a 4-4 that generates two Divine Shield 4-4s, and then be able to bounce the one without Divine Shield and make two more 4-4s with Divine Shields is pretty broken in Quest Rogue, and I think it probably needs a nerf just for that interaction, at least to make it so that you can't, like, go Giggling Inventor, Shadow Step Giggling Inventor, or Giggling Inventor, Brewmaster Giggling Inventor. It probably even needs to go up to 7, maybe, just to keep it from being able to be Shadow Stepped, though I'm not going to get into another Shadow Step ramp again because I value, you know, I value the fact that you're listening to me and nobody wants to listen to me do that again. But, and, you know, in Token Druid, it's also a problem. It's probably, I don't know how much of a problem it is in Druid, but I think that it's kind of also a reaction to some of the other decks that are in the meta. Like, I wonder if Giggling Inventor wasn't there, would Death Rattle Hunter just be everywhere? Right? Like, sometimes that's the only thing that lets you hang on for any period of time, and it's enabling some of these slower decks. Maybe not Odd Warrior, because Odd Warrior is mostly cutting it. Or is it? Actually, I don't know. Odd Warrior may not be cutting it. I think some lists cut it, but I think it generally runs it consistently. And you know, Big Spell Mage will run it. And a lot of these slower combo decks will run it. Certainly Togwaggle's running it. Certainly Token Druid is running it. Maligos Druid is running it. And you know, would those are obviously part of the problem, but are they also, is it also that Giggling Inventor is allowing some of these slower decks to be viable? Because otherwise, like, you look at what Zoo is, and even an Odd Rogue to a lesser extent, and like, if you don't have Giggling Inventor, I wonder if any of those decks are really that viable. Just with how fast some of those decks come out. Like, if you have a board full of 5/5s and you don't have a way to put like 2 Divine Shield Taunts to just make them chew through it, can any of those decks compete? I don't know. So, I don't know if how Giggling Inventor needs to be changed because of the Crest Rogue interaction, and I'm starting to get to the opinion that the quest pretty much just needs to go away, because this is the second time they've nerfed it. It's still viable. Maybe it's just raising a whole bunch of other design issues that are not as terrible if the quest isn't there. But in any event, I think that Giggling Inventor is actually contributing to the problem in a different way, but I don't think that it's the kinds of decks that it's enabling that's so much the problem. I think that Giggling Inventor is creating this feeling of running in quicksand because of the other effects that it has on the game and because it's being run so in so many different decks. So if it's not Giggling Inventor as the card itself, or as the decks that it's enabling, that's the problem, and if it might even be helping to make the meta more balanced, what is the problem? And I think that the problem is time. So I've been thinking about this a lot, and especially when I was trying to ladder last season with Odd Warrior, and you can see this in the tournaments too. Like, there were a number of matches in DreamHack Montreal that went for over 2 hours, some of them 2.5 hours, because the Last Hero Standing tournament, which means, if you're not familiar, that you keep playing a deck until you lose with it. And then as soon as you have a deck lose, it's unavailable to you for the rest of the round. So if you start off the match with Odd Warrior, or if you lose your first match and then switch to Odd Warrior, you're playing 3 games with Odd Warrior. And those games take a really, really long time. So, especially if you get into an Odd Warrior mirror, those can take upwards of 30 minutes for one game. And that adds up. Like, if you're used to getting on a decent tear, or even not, right? Like, let's say that you're You have an hour to play a night, right? Like, you're a normal person. You're someone like me. You have a day job. Hearthstone's not your primary vocation. You have an hour to two to play during the week, and then the weekend's going to be your major grinding. So let's say that you are used to getting, say, let's say 8 games in, right? Let's say that your average game time is like 8 minutes. And, you know, the math does, so somewhere between 7 and 8 games you're going to get in that period of time. Let's say that you're playing in a good 60% win rate. So you're going like 5-3, right? So you played for an hour, you gained 2 stars, you feel pretty good about yourself, right? Now, think about it in this meta. Almost all the games, I have to look at my stats to back this up, but I feel like most of the games go for around 15 minutes. Like, you run into an Odd Warrior, you're there for a while. You run into a Quest Rogue, you're certainly there for a while. And some of these decks just... A lot of these games go to fatigue. So, now you're playing that same hour, but you're playing four games. Or maybe you're playing three games. Maybe you're really unlucky. You're just queuing into bad matchups. They're taking 20 minutes apiece. So, let's say you're playing three games. And... Let's even give you the benefit of the doubt. Let's say you're killing it and you're getting like 66% win rate, but you're 2-1. So you're playing better than you were before, but you're not seeing it on the ladder because you're not winning as many games total. And I think that's the reason that this feels so frustrating is that it's hard to gain ground. Like, I play a lot. I don't want to spend my whole day playing Hearthstone necessarily. I mean, sometimes I do, but other times I really don't. I have other things that I want to do. I'm working on these dashboards. I want to play God of War. I want to, hang out and play Overwatch with my kid. Like, not everything is going to be Hearthstone. And if I have to spend that many more games to get the same amount of progress, that's going to feel worse. And by the way, when you're playing fewer games, even at the same win rate, but you're losing, those losses hurt way more because you've invested more time into it. So if you go the opposite way, now you got those four games, but you went 1-3, that feels terrible. You just spent an hour to lose 2 stars. And you'll get those stars back, right? Like you're not a worse player than you used to be. If you're listening to this and take that away from this conversation, that you are definitely not a worse player than you used to be if you're struggling this meta. But I think that the way that this meta is shaking out, with as many gains taking as long as they are, it makes you feel that way because you're not making the same kind of ground in an equivalent amount of time. And what's also difficult is that because these games are taking a lot longer, there's generally a lot more decisions, they're more fatiguing. It feels like you can't really... There's not really a matchup where you're going to know instinctively what to do and you're just going to be able to... I don't want to say go on autopilot, but you're going to be able to offload a lot of that mental strain. Like, a lot of the decks that are good are also very difficult to play. Token Druid's very difficult. Quest Rogue is incredibly difficult to play correctly. Even the aggro decks, like Zoo, has a lot of decisions that it needs to make. Do you play your Soul Infusion turn one? When do you hold your Soul Infusion? Do you play it on a minion just to get a couple of extra stats? Or do you hold it and wait for a Sour Knight Chain Gang or something like that? Do you tap or do you not? Do you just get minions out on board? Like, there's a lot of things you need to worry about, and then you're also playing around Spreading Plague, which is another boogeyman of this meta. All the aggro decks have to play around Spreading Plague. Spreading Plague is in every Druid deck. And, except for Taunt, but I mean, even Taunt Druid's like a niche thing right now. So, like, a lot of the games are very difficult and skill intensive in a way that I don't think we're very used to. And the games are longer, which means that they're just more draining, and you're gaining less ground than you would with a similar win rate, because your win rate is only, I mean, it will eventually turn into climbing, but if you have a positive win rate, but that win rate is never going to be consistently distributed. Let's say that, right? So it's not like when you have a 60% win rate that you're going 3 wins, then two losses, then 3 wins all the time. I don't even know if that's not even 60%. I don't know what that is. Math is hard. But you know what I mean. And so when you get into those valleys where you're losing 4 or 5 in a row, like, you look at that and like, how long is that going to take for me to make back up? I run into one Odd Warrior and I lose like half my laddering time for the day. So, and that's where Giggling Inventor comes in, because Giggling Inventor is extending some of these games that otherwise would have ended earlier. Because now you have to chew through 4 more taunts, when otherwise you would have just had a superior board position, you would have just beaten them because you established that board. Giggling Inventor can turn that all around, and it can do it for every single class. Pretty much it will. So While I don't think that Giggling Inventor is a problem outside of a couple of specific decks, I think the fact that it's being run in so many decks is making the average game length longer. And so that's making it feel like it's harder to climb, even if your win rate is actually the same. There's one other thing about the prevalence of Giggling Inventor in relation to time that's also relevant to talk about, which is that even the aggro decks are slower. If you look at something like a Zoo, right? Like, even Zoo is running Mossy Horror, which is bananas. And Odd Rogue is running Blood Knight, which is a really, really good card against Giggling Inventor, and they kind of have to run it. But it's also like a brick against any other card that you play. And it's worth playing it in the deck because it is so effective against Giggling Inventor, but if you don't draw it at the right time, that's a 3-mana 3/3 that's not adapting or growing when you swing your weapon or whatever, and that doesn't really help Odd Rogue put on pressure. And they're probably going to be disincentivized to play it because they want to get that Giggling Inventor value out, and the assumption is that most decks are going to be running it. So even the aggressive decks are slower than they would be in another meta where Giggling Inventor wasn't there, because it demands an answer. If you drop a Giggling Inventor against a Zoo, that's locking out a full turn, if not two, of them being able to hit you in the face with the Divine Shields. So even the aggressive decks can brick by drawing these tech cards that they have to run because Giggling Inventor's everywhere, but are so bad if you're not playing Giggling Inventor that it slows them down. And that also makes the games take longer because, you know, you play a Giggling Inventor into them, they don't have it. Okay, well, now the game's going to go another several turns where it probably should have just ended if you didn't have the Giggling Inventor. So there's a lot going on in terms of time per game and what that translates to in terms of how you feel about your climb, especially if you're not at a place where you would expect to be at this point in the month on a normal ladder climb, given how the last meta went. So, what can you do about it? Because right now, as of when I'm recording this, we haven't heard anything from Blizzard on nerfs. I would expect if we are going to, we're not going to hear about it until next week, until after all of the regional playoffs are done. And even then, it's probably going to be another week until we get nerfs, if we get them. There's an article in IGN where they interviewed Ixar this week, where he's saying that maybe he doesn't need it. Maybe the meta is just correcting eventually to, account for Giggling Inventor. So it may not even get nerfed, this expansion. It's possible. So what can you do? So I think that the important thing is being able to keep perspective about how your play is and dissociate that from your rank. So this is where keeping statistics is very important, because you're going to have play sessions that are going to have fewer games, which means that every game is going to be more impactful into your overall win rate, which means that your rank is going to be disproportionate to your play ability, because there are a lot of just bad matchups. If you queue an odd rogue, an odd warrior into a quest rogue, you're going to be sad, and you're going to lose that game, and more likely than not. And so that's going to wipe out like 15, 20 minutes worth of progress. That's not saying that you should measure it that way, but it's going to feel that way. And so recognizing that your win rate and your stars are not the same thing will help you to keep perspective on how you're playing. So you really do need to keep track of your statistics so you can get an accurate idea of, like, objectively, what is my win rate? Forget about where you are on the ladder. Focus on how you're playing, because if you're playing well, the ranks will come. But if you're focusing on your stars, then you start getting yourself into ladder anxiety. The ladder anxiety leads to frustration. Frustration leads to tilt, and tilt leads to suffering. So keep track of your stats. Try to, and you know, don't be so quick to change decks either. And that's going to be the other thing, because the games are longer, the impact of how they feel is going to be outsized. If you lose two or three games in a row, it's going to feel like, and maybe rightfully so, you've been playing for half an hour, and you can't win a game. And you might have gotten five or six games in a previous meta, and it may be like, well, I've been playing this deck for a while and I need to switch. You may need to take a break instead. So it's going to be more important to keep tabs on what's working and what's not. And don't get overexcited by win streaks, because those are going to feel better now. They're not going to feel as good, but they're still going to feel good because everything else feels like a slog. And don't get too down on yourself after losses. This is general advice, but it goes like double in this meta, because every game is going to feel that much more meaningful because you have less of them in a play session. And you know, just focusing on fundamentals is going to help you too. Knowing the decks, there are a lot of them. And the other thing that's a problem about this meta right now is that you can mulligan wrong and just lose. Like, you can mulligan for a zoo, run into an even warlock or a control warlock, and just lose on the spot. And so being aware of what your opponents are playing will help you. And, you know, being able to play around things and not just, you know, throwing down cards will help you as usual. I mean, just good Hearthstone fundamentals and not letting this meta get to you, which is harder than it sounds. It's easy to say that, and I struggle with it too. But just keeping an eye on your fundamentals regardless of what deck you're playing, and maybe thinking about it twice or taking a break instead of switching may help you. And as usual, when we get to the point where we have to talk about our feelings, be kind to yourself. Like, I assure you, you are not a worse Hearthstone player than you were a month ago. I assure you. I may not know you personally, but I can tell you that if you are playing this game right now, you have not forgotten how to play Hearthstone. You are not a worse player than you were a month ago. This meta is difficult, but it's difficult for everybody. So it's very easy to look at your performance and look at where you are in the ladder and see yourself back at the ranked floor again or whatever and say, okay, well, maybe I just don't know how to play in this meta. Well, there are resources to learn how to play better. Pick a deck, watch streams, go to Robot Moon or Meta Legend and watch replays of top players play those decks. And don't get distraught by seeing other people who are hitting Legend and doing it quickly. Like, I assure you, for every person who's hitting Legend and posting about it, there are five more that are struggling. I'm struggling. I will tell you that straight up. My play has been disappointing for me since the new set came out. In a way that when I'm talking to you about this, I am living this myself. I am not playing up to my own expectations, and it's taking kind of a reset for me to try to get a handle on that. Am I going to be successful? I don't know, but I'm right there with you. So if you think you're the only one suffering, you are not. You are not the only one who is having trouble in this meta. You are not the only one who's having trouble climbing. You are still as good of a Hearthstone player today as you were yesterday. You are still as good of a Hearthstone player today as you were a month ago. And if you can put that out of your mind and just try to play your best Hearthstone and enjoy the games, find a deck that you enjoy that does reasonably well and just learn the hell out of it, I think you can overcome this. I'm sure hoping that I can. And that's kind of the approach that I'm going to be taking too. So you're not alone if you're struggling, and just keep your head up, make sure you're playing the game optimally and try to find the fun where you can, and just accept that the games are taking longer and that's going to have a material impact on where you are in ladder results, even if it's not affecting where you are in terms of win rate. Okay, so our 45 minutes are up. I love therapy weeks. but hopefully this is helpful. I feel like it's actually even helpful for me just talking through this. So hopefully it's helpful for you as well. So as always, you can find the links that I mentioned on the show. And I'll probably post the Token Druid that I was talking about on Twitter right after when I post the show. So you can find that on Twitter as well. But I will post that, and any of the links that I mention are always available at offcurve.com. I actually redid the website a little bit And offcurve.com is now, like, the main domain for that site, and all of the Hearthstone stuff is there. It's not redirecting to multiball.net anymore. You can still get there from multiball if you're old school and you want to do that, but offcurve.com will take you everywhere in the site and will take you directly to the page where you can see the episodes. So go there and find the links that I mentioned in this episode. You can also, if you want announcements for when new episodes drop, you can go follow Offcurve on @Offcurve on Twitter, which is also the place where you can at mention or DM questions to be answered on the show. You don't have to wait for me to do a specific call for mailbag. I'm willing to take questions anytime. Just if you do at mention me, just make sure that you mention that that's something you want to be on the show, and I will do my best to accommodate. You can also follow me on Twitter. My personal account is Wicked Good. You can follow me there, and that has, you know, lots of other things, and, you know, things about Switch games and stuff like that, too, and, you'll see when I'm casting. I should be casting Into the Wild this weekend, and I just got announced as one of the casters for the Phoenix Invitational Cup, which is going to be starting this weekend. I'm not casting this weekend, but I should be casting next weekend. So I'll have more information about times for that when that's available. You can also follow me on Twitch. I'm WickedGoodFM. I have not been streaming because of Jewish holidays and American holidays and stuff like that, but I'm hoping to get back to that this weekend. Usually when holidays are not getting in the way, it is Sunday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern or thereabouts. So please do come hang out. We have a lot of fun. And do leave a review on iTunes if you can. I saw a couple of ratings, and those are super helpful too, even if you don't want to take the time to write the review. Completely understood. I get writer's block with those things all the time too. But even just the 5-star ratings has helped, and I've seen a couple people doing that. It's super, super appreciated. And that's in the US podcast store. I know I do get international reviews as well, and I get an email once a month because it's hard to check all the stores. So if you have, I appreciate it, and I will get that to that when the email goes off and sends that to me. And thank you for taking your time to listen to me help myself by helping you as I'm driving home from work. I know that you have a lot of podcasts that you can be, devoting your listening time to, and I appreciate you spending it with me. And I love being able to talk to you all about this, and I love that you all are listening, and, you know, I appreciate you giving me the time in your week. It means a lot. So, anyway, you know, be kind to yourself. Good luck out there. Good luck climbing. Don't take the losses too hard. And, be good to each other. Have a good one. I'll talk to you soon.